Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. More importantly, the third annual Black Excellence Series. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group, and also, of course, the proud host of VFE. And today's guest absolutely exemplifies Black excellence from the executive leadership role. I have known Dr. Andre Townsville for a very, very long time when he was a part of cohort one for the AASA Howard Urban Superintendents Academy. And I believe, Dr. Townsville, this was before you were actual superintendent. I remember I was in cohort three, you were in cohort one, and everybody was talking about this Andre Townsville. And I was like, who is this? I think this was before you took your superintendency role. And then all of a sudden, you had just shot up to be one of the big voices in education, specifically around leadership. We're going to get into that. But truly proud of everything that you've accomplished in your tenure and at Calvert. But more importantly, I see you speaking around the country to students, to leaders, to adults, to stakeholders, to community members, to families. Your impact in the ecosystem is totality. So it is without further ado within our Black Excellence Series celebrating Black History Month to present Dr. Andre Townsville, the proud superintendent of Calvert County Public Schools. Dr. Townsville, welcome to VFE and the Black Excellence Series. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm excellent. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for contacting me. It's a pleasure to do this, and I'm ready for a great conversation.
Absolutely. Anything with you is a great conversation. Now, Dr. Townsville, for my audience, we use this as an asynchronous platform for professional learning. Please unpack, unwrap, get down to the level of segmentation with your leadership strategies and approaches, because we have a lot of people that engage and listen to VFE and take this back and use the specific concepts and practices into their practices as well. So don't hold back, Dr. Townsville. This is a treat for my audience. But get into the first question. This is a fun one, Dr. Townsville. We're going to love this. So please, like I said, just be intentional, bold, and unapologetic with this interview. But when education stakeholders and leaders, community members, students, right, engage with Dr. Andre Townsville, what song describes your leadership signature in the education ecosystem?
Wow, you know, that's a great question. What song describes my leadership style? You know what, man, I'll be honest with you. You know, growing up in Detroit, I listened to a lot of smooth jazz. I'm a hip hop head, but sometimes when I want to wind down, I'm on that smooth jazz station, and it's nothing like Sade Smooth Operator. And I'll be honest with you, man, I think as a leader, you have to be a smooth operator. Coast to coast, LA to Chicago, you know, you have to be a smooth operator, because the job, man, navigating that political landscape, leading adults, leading young people, working collaboratively with elected officials, checking your ego at the door, being stoic, unflappable, calm in a storm of crisis, you have to be a smooth operator, man. That really describes me, man, able to navigate any scenario from suburban to rural to urban, and have increased academic achievement and making districts better, leaving it better than you found it. I would say that's my song, man. Sade, smooth operator.
Oh, man. Dr. Townsville, I'm not lying to you. I just heard that song yesterday, and I was cleaning my place, and I was blasting it. And all I kept on saying was, smooth operator. Sade, yes, we got it. Because here's the thing, what I loved about that you had just stated momentarily ago was that you got to check your ego at the door. Right? That navigation, strategic navigation of your leadership practices, as well as your leadership methods, you have to be able to be adaptive with that, right? And I love how you were able to articulate that. But I think that one of the things, because you covered a variety of different tenets within the education model, is leaders being able to check your ego at the door. And I think if you really want to be a smooth operator that has that high synergy of impact and influence, you really have to check your ego at the door. And when you check your ego at the door, Dr. Townsville, you know, you become that smooth operator in education and be able to create that culture, right? That culture that we always try to strive for from a vision standpoint. But I want to say this to you, brother. I'm proud of you again. I stated from the outset, I'm proud of you. Congratulations, man. It seems like every other week you're getting either a new award or recognition, or you're on some type of, you know, BET doing something, but really proud of you. But listen, one thing I really want to focus on, right, is your keynote presentations across the country. I get to, on social media, I get to hear, you know, the sound bites of it that you play or that you publish, and wow, resonating to me, profound to me. But, you know, I remember when you were graduating cohort one from the AASA, Howard Urban Superintendents Academy and everything, it was just enamored by your leadership trajectory. But this is a two-part question, right? For those that don't know you, you're also running to be the president-elect of NAVSE, the National Alliance of Black School Educators. Now, first, as a superintendent, two-parter, as a superintendent of Calvert County Public Schools, what I want you to do is unpack the vision of your learning organization and some of those key milestones that you accomplished under the auspice of your leadership. The second part is, what are going to be your core campaign priorities and vision if you are elected as president-elect of NAVSE?
Great. So with regards to my current role as superintendent of Calvert County Public Schools, man, the job is just to enhance the student experience and increase academic achievement. And when I talk about increasing academic achievement, I'm talking about our lowest performers and our highest performers. That means raising the floor and the ceiling at the same time. No one left out. So supporting all young people and enhancing the student experience. What I shared previously is that the education is always behind. We're always, in my opinion, about a decade behind society. When you think of artificial intelligence, I mean, we're still trying to figure out what does that look like in the education section. And if you recall, I mean, Siri on the iPhone has been out for about a decade from what I can recall. I mean, I remember saying, "Hey Siri," back in 2015. And now here it is, we're in 2025, and we say, "Oh my goodness, what is AI?" No, you've been talking to it on Siri, you've been talking to it with Alexa, you've been using it through your global positioning system, the GPS in your vehicle. It's already there. So the question is, how do we keep education on par with society? We're always behind. So if somebody said, "Hey, Dr. Townsend, what will the next 10 years of education look like?" And 10 years look like in education, my answer is like the last 10 years or like the last 5 years. Opportunities mixed with challenges, you know, and playing catch up. So the goal is, how can we possibly attract enough educators in the field to be leaders in the space? The long and short of it is, our best and brightest are not going into the field of education. I've learned by sitting on the board of visitors at Howard University School of Education that the supply of educators is not necessarily there. The demand is there. We still need educators, but the human capital is not there. The human resources are not there because people are not choosing the field. Education still has a bad reputation. It's still not looked at in the same lens as doctor or lawyer, and it should be. So the old cliche is that those that can do and those that don't teach, that needs to go out the window, man. We need some of our best and brightest educators or best and brightest humans going into the field of education to strengthen the field. But we also have to pay educators. That's one thing I love about the state of Maryland with the Blueprint for Maryland's Future, the mandate of starting teacher salaries at $60,000 to give them that profession, that respect coming out the gate to compete with some other career opportunities. So again, my job in as a current superintendent is increasing academic achievement, enhancing the student experience. Now we're talking about being nominated for president-elect of the National Alliance of Black School Educators, man, the goal is to be a premier professional development organization for best practices, for shared experiences, and for networking with like-minded colleagues. That's the goal, being that premier platform for educators across the country, where you get some of the top leaders, some of the top speakers, some of the top practitioners sharing that information and branding. What I learned about branding was through McDonald's, as a matter of fact. You think of the Happy Meal. Everyone know the Golden Arches. Just kids, I still remember the Happy Meal. My kids know what the Happy Meal is. Happy Meal is today. So is brand imprinting for later infatuation. Having that brand imprint that will stick into people's minds over a period of time because the brand is strong. So how do you market? How do you advertise? How do you have the credibility of being that premier organization? That's where my mind is, as being nominated as the as a president-elect. And I'll be honest with you, I was going to the conference just for professional development myself, and a bunch of people said, we want to nominate you. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? So, you know, I'm just blessed to have the opportunity to serve in the field of education. And it's always an honor and a privilege when people consider you for leadership opportunities and leadership roles.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Townsend, they know your impact. They know the vitality that you're going to bring. They know the veracity in the context of theory practices and large data interpretation to be able to change systems. But going back to your earlier response, I'm just referencing my notes, Dr. Townsend. I really appreciate the fact that you essentially stated the core quandary of our model, our education model, is you said it, we're about a decade behind. We were talking to Siri in 2019, and then in education, it seems like AI just hit us, right? But it's been around in the broader economic demand since 1956. I believe John McCarthy, AI first was introduced in 1950, but really contextualized in 1956. So it's been around for a while. And I really think that you stated it indirectly as well, is that we really have to move to this 22nd century focus because of the COVID, because of AI. We're 70 years out from the 22nd century, but because of those two major entities of COVID and AI, it pushed us ahead 50 years, and we're 6 years into the AC stage of education. So you are absolutely right. We need to start preparing Generation Alpha and Generation Beta now, because roughly we got 14 years until we need to start concretizing a learning, I like to say, 22nd century learning ecosystem. But premier professional development and premier platform. I really love how you say that for NAPS, and you're going to bring that vision into it. But demand and supply with regards to human resources and capital to be able to ensure that we have the best practitioners in our classrooms, that's going to continue to be an issue. But I think they're all running to Calvert to work for you, Dr. Townsend. I know I wish. But it kind of segues into this question, Dr. Townsend, because in early January, my corporation, AEG, we unveiled the 22nd century education model. Going back to exactly what you stated, we are decades behind. AI is coming. We're not even talking about AGI, which is about to be launched in a few short years, is really getting those models down. But, you know, the 22nd century education model is more of a framework that unpacks indicators for transformation or to transform learning environments aligned for Generation Alpha and Generation Beta. What I admire about you, Dr. Townsend, and your executive leadership approach is that you meet with students with a high degree of frequency. Every time I see you on social media, you're addressing some students. And what I love about it too, you bring it back to make so that they have that relationship. You wear your varsity coat. I love that, right? But now their voices, it is obvious their voices are underscored in your leadership signature. So as many superintendents and executive leaders, they listen to VFE. What have you heard from the students with regards to co-designing a meaningful, authentic, personalized, and innovative learning environment of the future? What are the voices from the field, specifically our students? What are they saying?
You know, our young people just want to have real world opportunities in the classroom. Young people are bored. You know, they're bored of education. And the reality is because we're still trying to be as traditional as possible with the field. Now, I will say in my community, we did have the opportunity to ban cell phones, but every one of our young people have laptops. And we're encouraging and even put out guidance on how to use the technology, such as the artificial intelligence and the etiquette when using social medias, because we want young people to have that opportunity to be sociable. So where's the etiquette behind that? But young people just want things to be relevant. You know, the information is so rapid. You think of when you watch SportsCenter, there's a ticker at the bottom telling you the up-to-date information of all the sports. If you're watching a news channel, there's a ticker at the bottom telling you what's going on in other parts of the world. So when young people are on their social media feeds, I mean, they go through hundreds of resources of information all the time. And then when they get in the classroom, we ask them to sit and get. No, it's turn and talk and collaborate. So they want to be involved. They want to have a learning environment very similar to their information absorbing environment. Because just because it's social media doesn't mean it's always entertainment. Some people are on YouTube University listening to lectures. Some people are looking at do-it-yourself videos and how to become podcasters and influencers. They're getting their information from that. So we have to be rapid with how we deliver the information, and we have to be up to date with technology on how we're engaging our young people. What I see most when young people are not engaged is because the classroom is too slow. You got to catch up. You got to speed up and catch up with the technology and the times. And that's the relational piece. When I talk to young people, they sit and listen and absorb the information because I'm able to relate to them. And I do believe when you're able to relate with young people, they will do anything you need them to do, from achieving on academics to performing athletically or to having a phenomenal arts career. So just have to engage and relate and make sure things are relevant to what they're doing in their real world and real time. If they're with you for 6 hours a day, engage with them, make it entertaining, because you will lose them.
In my keynote presentations, I always say our motto, right? We got our kids that are living in a Netflix platform generative world, but they go back into a Blockbuster environment in school, which is exactly you stated. It's slow pedagogy, is regurgitation of information, is rote. Albeit, you hit on the three critical themes to really change the instructional model and actual learning conditions for students. To my audience, Dr. Townsville stated relevancy, engagement, and relationships. But this is not coming from Dr. Townsville. This is coming from the myriad, the thousands, the plethora of students that he engaged with every single day. Again, another reason I admire to my audience and viewers, another reason why I admire Dr. Townsville is because he's not an office superintendent. He is engaging with kids. He's in schools. I know Doc and I have many conversations. He's doing lunch duty, which I love about it. But he's hearing what the students need or what they're expressing their needs, voice and agency with that. So three of those critical themes: relevancy, engagement, and relationships, which is absolutely true. I love how you say we got to move out of the industrial age and move to this digital age for Generation Alpha and Generation Beta. But Doc, there's many competing factors and variables that's truly stifling the exponential acceleration of education. As we're saying within our corporate campaign or our corporation campaign, the future of education is now. I think you've been stressing that urgency in every single response that you've given to our questions. But with the dynamic shift in the generational profile of our students, AI and education, and potential policy changes with the new administration come in, Dr. Townsville, what strategies should leaders, especially executive leaders, superintendents, embark upon with creating an adaptive and flexible organizational culture that is rooted in continuous learning for stakeholders?
Well, let me say, it really, really first starts with, at the adult level, relationships, man. I mean, you have to be able to move people, lead people, influence people, trust people. And most importantly, people have to be able to trust you. There's a book that everyone's have probably heard of, but I don't know if they've read it. is Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Just at the basic level, man, how do you talk to people? Are you throwing people under the bus? Are you undermining people? Are you still doing the as per your last email, passive aggressive? No, man, treat people how you want to be treated. Plain and simple, if you can treat people the way you want to be treated, lead with integrity, I do believe organizationally, you would be able to execute anything you'd like to because people would want to work for you. That's why I love sport. When I think of Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, never had a losing season. I think he's been the head coach there 16 years, never had a losing season and won a Super Bowl. Because the players like him, the players can relate to him, the players listen to him. And you have to have that same type of integrity, leading in front, being a man or woman of your word and doing what you're saying you're going to do, being impeccable with your word. There's a different book called The Four Agreements. And that first agreement is just to be impeccable with your word and to not make assumptions. Don't take things personally. And very last, just try your best. When you do all those things, will stuff still be difficult? Yes, but you have to handle difficult well. That's okay. It's going to be difficult, so you have to do it difficult. And you have to do it to the best of your ability, and you will be fine, man. One thing I say all the time, I do not hire smart people and then tell them what to do. You know, you give them the vision, you give them the goal, and you allow them to use the talent that they come to the table with to execute it. And if you hit it, great. If you don't, you monitor, adjust the game plan, and you go back out there and you do it again. So that's the long and short, man. I'll keep it as basic as possible. Relationships with adults. That's how you lead them.
I love it. I love it. One word, right? And I think people don't realize the strength and the vitality of relationships, right? The impact of culture. I always say culture is positive, right? Positive and impactful and influential culture is a correlation to relationships. I love what you said. Move, lead, influence, and trust people. And the example that you provided, Mike Tomlin, I know he's one of your fraternity brothers, but he looks good in those colors. As we move into year six, or we are in year six of the AC stage of education, how I like to conceptualize it after COVID-19, what is your message to all education stakeholders about strategic urgency and staying steadfast to our most important customers?
Thank you for that. Man, your most important customers, families, their students, and their constituents, and all the stakeholders associated with school leadership. Man, it's simple. I call it the triple Vs of leadership, being visible. People have to see you. They have to know you exist. You can't just be a name that lives in an imaginary building with an imaginary desk. Be visible. Be visible. People have to see you. The second, be vocal. Don't be timid with your talk. Be vocal. Be intelligent. Be a listener. Be an engaged learner. Be the lead learner. Be vocal. And the very last V is being very vigilant. Be pressed. Do what you say you're going to do and do not waver. Do not get knocked off balance. Be vigilant with achieving the goals of your district or the goals that you have set for yourself personally. And also, when you think about young people, it's the triple A's. I believe every young person have the opportunity to fall in one of the three categories: academics, athletics, or the arts. The triple A's. Young people can achieve academically, athletically, or with regards to the arts. Someone can find a home. And the very last, I call this the triple E's, and that's education, economics, and employment, taking education seriously, being fiscally responsible, understanding the landscape with partnerships with districts, and ultimately employment. You know, young people and with post-secondary success, when they go off into colleges, universities, or military, whatever the case, they are global citizens. They can be employed. That's the goal. Get them employed, whether they're business owners or people that work for businesses, man. That's the long and short. So being visible, vocal, and vigilant, focusing on academics, athletics, and the arts, and understanding the education, the economics, and the employments of education, I do think that's a recipe for success.
Those nine core themes are the recipe for success. And I want my audience to be able to play this and answer back. Triple V's, visible, vocal, vigilant. Triple A's, academic, athletics, and arts. and triple E's, education, economics, and employment. Wow. And I can tell you this to my viewers out there, that right there is a professional learning sequence, a continuum for your teachers and for your leaders for 2 to 3 years. So I'm looking at this right now like, wow, we can be able to get deep with just being visible, academics, education, economics, alignment with that. Doc, you're doing amazing things in Calvert. But last question, brother, you made it. You made it on the Black Excellence series. But I don't know if anybody ever limits you to 3 words, Doc. And I'm going to try it. But please, nobody listens. Season 3, everybody, they go on 3 times. Whatever that is, 3 to the 3rd power. Take it how it is. What 3 words do you want today's audience to leave our podcast regarding innovation, leadership, and excellence in the AC stage of education?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to set the bar, meet the bar, exceed the bar, and raise the bar. Dr. Townsend, what does that mean? And whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, personally or professionally, at minimum, get 1% better. And over time, you'll look back and see how far you've come. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I cannot wait to join you again in the future.
Oh, Dr. Townsend, thank you. If you can say that one more time, set the bar, raise the bar, and what's
we're going to set the bar, meet the bar, exceed the bar, then raise the bar. That's in academics, athletics, and arts, and everything we're trying to do, whether personally or professionally, at minimum 1% better, because over time, you'll look back and see how far you've really come.
I love it. That answer is 3rd to the 5th power times 3rd to the 10th power. Get you that. I love it. But Doc, what hit me right here, seriously, every day, every single day, I tell my son, you got to be 1% better than yesterday. Doc, that resonates with me. Absolutely. Oh, man, this was great. This was great. And I love the whole set the bar, raising the bar to meet the bar. To my audience, please unpack that as well. But I really love that context, how we as an organization can be 1% better than yesterday. Doc, if my audience wants to be able to reach out to you, connect with you, expand on specific strategies that you highlighted and articulated today, how would they be able to get in contact with you?
Oh, thank you. So if you're on social media, I would say LinkedIn at Dr. Andre Townsend. I'm also on Instagram at Draetown, Draetown. I'm also on X, formerly known as Twitter, also Draetown, Draetown. And also you can catch me at www.draetown.com. That's Draetown.
And please, to my audience, reach out to Dr. Townsend. He will respond to you. And I know that he will give you the response as well as the strategies and methods, and even just to create what I like to say, cognitive tension with regards to where you're at with your current state and also where you get going to your desired outcome. Dr. Townsend, thank you for being a guest on VFE during the 3rd annual Black Excellence Series. Man, like I said, I'm just super, super proud of everything that you're doing. And continue success with everything down in Calvert County.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I'll see you next time.
Absolutely. And on that note, onward and upward, everybody. Have a great evening.